Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Appreciate the preaching that I've been able to hear since I've been here. What a blessing it is. I'm glad God did choose this way. We had nothing to do with it, really. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I'm glad that I got to hear preaching. That's many moons ago. In fact, I've been here preaching about all my life. They used to have, where I was raised, had protracted meetings, day and night service. And that was a blessing. That's when they read the Bible to you in the schoolhouse. The teachers even prayed with you at school. Some of them probably wasn't even saved, you know, but still they reverenced God. Had a Bible laying on the desk, you know. Nowadays you'd have the whole ACLU down on you, I guess, now. It's good to be saved, ain't it? Now, it's pretty hard to preach to hungry people. It's pretty hard to preach to sleepy people. I asked my grandson, are you hungry? He said, yes. I said, it's hard to preach to hungry people. That's why about 12 o'clock now, you know, one fellow told me he preached till after 1. I said, man, I don't know how you do that. I said, places I preach about 12 o'clock, their mind goes thinking McDonald's or Wendy's or maybe it's their stomach thinking, you know. So I say, one old preacher said he preached on the radio for years. Old Free Will Baptist preacher down where I live. Used to be that you could just go and buy you a little time anytime you wanted to. There wasn't that many preachers on there. So you got something against somebody, you could just go buy you 10 minutes radio time, bless them out on the radio. So that's the way this old guy done. He made a mistake by taking one of his deacons with him. And they brought him on the air, and he had 10 minutes. He called on that deacon to pray, and he prayed 9 minutes. And when he got finished praying, he said, folks, what I say, I must say quickly, hello and goodbye. So I'm going to try to be, I'm just going to testify a little bit. And a lot of people say, well, I've heard that before. But I am just going to try to, I'm not going to try to read the whole passage here. I'm looking at verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you've been saved any amount of time, you probably heard chapter 3 of 2 Timothy preached on Bus Baptist preaching a whole lot. Now I'm kind of zeroing in on verse 7 for a text today. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, we do thank you for your word. We're glad you preserved it for us, Lord, in this present moment of time. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the preaching, Lord. We've already heard the touch of the Spirit of God be felt in our heart, reminding, Lord, in our mind of your word and your way. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to you, Lord. You told us in your words, men are led by the Spirit of God. They're the sons of God. Help us, Lord, to be led by the Spirit. Give us that special touch, Lord, it takes to preach today. Well, help us without you. We know it and acknowledge it. Ask you, Lord, to help us now. We pray in Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving. Amen. Maybe seated. Let me say just a word or two about truth to begin with. I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2 where the Bible said God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it sounds to me like there in that verse that you could be saved and come to the knowledge of some truth and not come to the knowledge of more truth. And I think if we're not careful, that's what will happen because you couldn't get saved without being begotten by the word of truth. James 1, verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And we're born of the word of truth. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which is the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God is truth, Christ is truth, Holy Spirit is truth, and his word is truth. And if you're saved, you've been begotten by the word of truth. And God wants, that's why you need to be in a place where truth is preached so you can come to the knowledge of more truth. You love the truth if you've been saved by the truth. You couldn't get saved without the truth. Thank God for the truth. But here, he's telling how to be in the last days, and it is a pastoral epistle. And he's talking about perilous times coming. Envy loves their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I guess that's abortionists and sodomites there, without natural affection. And maybe people kissing on tomcats and poodle dogs and killing their babies. I heard the other day on the radio, $42 billion spent last year on pets. $42 billion in America. $42 billion? I'm not against you having pets, but man, when it gets that expensive, I don't know about it. Without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despising those that are good. In other words, if you try to do what the Bible said, by the religious crowd, you're despised. They think you're, you know, all the way off base if you try to do right now. That's why he said to ever learn it. Learn how to, you know, and this has been a long time ago, you know, we, our generation, my generation, when it came out with television, we didn't think that'd be possible to put a picture over there in your room. Then it was computers. We thought that was about as far as it'd go. Then it went to the internet. And now it's gone to cell phones and iPhones. Weapons of mass destruction. Somebody mentioned nuclear weapons, drones, airplanes with no pilots that just, I guess, control them from some kind of remote. Ever learning. Even in the church world. We've learned how. It's a sad day in church history in America when we learn how to have church without God. You'd be surprised at churches. They can have church without God. They just go through. That's what the Bible's talking about, having a form of godliness. The form they go through is a godly form. But they deny the power of God. They deny preaching power. They're not convicting power. They're not converting power. Those independent Baptist preachers that would laugh at you if you preach repentance toward God and faith toward Christ and you must be born again, they think a little old intellectual decisions all anybody needs. You know, I'm old enough to remember when that started. Back in the 40s, Billy Graham started calling for decision. Decision for Jesus. Well, every decision a lost man makes in his carnal state is not of God. You couldn't decide on your own to get saved. If you could, why did God ordain preaching? Why would you have to have old time conviction? Conviction means to be proven guilty. If you miss conviction, you miss repentance. Nobody's interested in the pardon who hadn't been to court. But if you've been to court and been found guilty, they don't have to sing "Just As I Am" to you to get you to take a pardon. I believe that's right. And that's what you get in salvation, the pardon, but nobody's interested in the pardon. What my wife said to her, said, there's no conviction on sinners much. I said, no conviction on saints much. If there's no conviction on saints, there's no conviction on sinners. Somebody said, you haven't any sinners to get saved? I said, I can't even get no saints to get saved. Sinners are not going to get saved from sin. The saints get saved from the self. A lot of us are saved from sin, but we're not saved from self. Help us, Lord. Ever learning. And I'm not against education. God don't put any premium on ignorance. I know that. I never did go to school much. Longest 3 years I ever put up was in the fourth grade. But, you know, God don't put any premium on, you know, and but I didn't get any education, especially formal education. One fellow got me to come and preach, wanted me to preach his graduation service at his college. I said, you don't want a fellow to preach a graduation service that never has graduated, do you? And somebody told him I'd graduated, and when he found out I hadn't graduated, he dropped me like I was, you know, just off base. But I did get to preach a graduation, first time I was ever inside of a college. I thought that was pretty good. I didn't know how to preach it, so I just preached like I do here. You know, I just preach like I do here. As far as I know, the Word of God don't change one crowd to the other. We're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. I think it's in Romans 1 and 16. If I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes, the Jew first, also the Greek, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31 to the Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There ain't nothing like getting set free by the truth. Amen. Ever learning. Never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Now let me just give you a point or two and I'm through. Our generation can't come to the truth on morals. Yeah. Not everything's accepted now. From the fine house all the way down to the outhouse. Whoever thought that our leaders of the nation and religious leaders, I heard them interview at a liberal pastor, and I think that's a sanctified word for liars. I don't think there's any such thing as a liberal preacher. I think if he's not telling the truth, he's an outright liar, and Jesus didn't put chocolate on it. God called evil men and false prophets, evil men seducers. He didn't say they're nice folks just misled. He said they're evil men. They're like dogs. They turn to their vomit. The Bible's pretty rough on false prophets. You know, a lot of folks think we kind of preach the rough. They'll read Matthew 23. Jesus preached the roughest message I guess ever preached. And so, ever learning. Never able to come along to the truth on morals. I mean, we're in such a breakdown now. You take adultery, fornication, checking up like shepherd dogs. You know, never able to come along to the knowledge of the truth. On morals, drunkenness, lottery. A lot of so-called Christians stand in line to buy lottery tickets. And they, one Christian, he said he's a Christian, told me, said it's not all bad. Said some of it goes to education. I said it's never right to do wrong, get to do right. You know, the end don't justify the means if it's wrong. And the bottom line, one preacher called me. He had bought a lottery ticket and he'd won. The devil saw that he won. He called me and said, what do you think about lottery tickets? I said, would you buy one if you knew you wasn't going to win? Yeah. He said, well, no. I said, no, I like your answer right there. It's covetousness. Want something that don't belong to you. Yeah. I used to play poker. I never did play poker if I didn't think I was going to win. Yeah. The bottom line is covetousness. That's the sin most of us don't preach on. That's the first sin that's ever committed was covetousness. Lucifer coveted to be like God. I will sin. I'll be like the Most High. Never able to come to the truth on morals. Thank God for homes, preachers, churches that teach the right kind of morals to the young folks. They're not going to get it in the schoolroom. They're not going to get it out there in the world. They're going to get all kind of filth taught to them. And we've got to constantly teach on good morals. Says 2 Peter 1, give diligence, add to your faith, virtue. That word means good morals. You add. God's not going to do for you what we can do for ourselves. You add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. You add these things. If these things be in your belly, they make you need to be buried and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a salvation passage. That's a knowledge passage. That's a growth passage. Amen. Liquor, lottery, sodomy. You know, it used to be, you wouldn't even think about mentioning that. Now, they talk like it's all right. Yeah, it's okay now for he's to look like she's and she's to look like he's, and sometimes you have to call it it. I asked my wife, I said, is that a man or a woman? I'm not joking you. My grandsons and me went into a restaurant to eat the other day, and this, whatever it was, come around the table and said, is everything all right? And I asked the boys, I said, now is that a girl or a boy? Had female features, soft hands, real soft voice. And they said it was a boy. You couldn't prove it by me. Because the girls were wearing the pants. And the boy's wearing the jewelry. You can't tell the difference now. That's really sad when that breaks down like that. And everybody becomes large of the tooth on Mars. And some don't come large of the tooth on marriage. Same-sex marriage, an animal won't even do that. You don't even see a male dog run after a male dog. So evolution couldn't possibly be right because we're doing things that animals won't do now. We're so perverted. Listen, and I'm not even a prophet, but I said back when television became a common household item, I said this will be the ruin of the church. They get people's minds so perverted. And all this perversion is made acceptable now. Oh, one time I told me, said, I get my church off of television. I said, I know it. And it shows up on the tube. I think I'll get out something here. And listen to me. I'm saying to you and to me and everybody alike, when the homes is broken down, see, like, can't come to know the truth on motherhood. That's been well covered. Motherhood, when as motherhood goes, so goes the nation. See, we didn't get here overnight. We've been a long time getting here. We've been about 60 years or more getting where we're at now. See, the devil didn't come out with the NIV first. He came out with the ASV perversion first. And this took over 100 years to get to the NIV. See, the devil gradually gets people. He gradually makes things worse. He gradually makes them acceptable to people. It wasn't just sodomy, here it is. No. He first got the ladies out of dress and put them in the pants. And got them to look masculine and his gradual perversion. A gradual lead on. And that's what the Bible is talking about the last day. Everybody becomes the knowledge of the truth on the message. A lot of us had to come to the truth on the message. I mean, nowadays, you hear, you can turn your radio or if you have a television, about anywhere, that all you hear is love and salvation preached. No law preach much. See, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, there's no law, there's no transgression. The law is the schoolmaster bring us to Christ. So if you haven't got any law preached, you've got no fear much. See, it's the fear of God that's beginning the wisdom, not the love of God. So to preach the gospel apart from the law is pretty bad. In other words, to preach the love of God apart from the holiness of God. See, God's love is controlled by his holiness. So if you just preach God loves everybody, and no preach in holiness and what God requires in righteousness, then you can't hardly tell a sinner he's in bad shape. If he'll make his decision, he'll be saved too. You know, since God loves everybody. You know, since God no respect to person. I bet y'all heard that a lot, ain't you? God no respect to person. I said, well, sometimes he's not, sometimes he is. He's not as far as judgment is concerned. But he must have a little bit of respect for you to allow you to be born in America. What why you wasn't born in Afghanistan? What why you wasn't born in Africa in the dark jungles of India? For some unknown reason, he allows to be born here. Now, don't dry up on me. Is that right? You know, you just can't put God in the test tube and say, here, God's obligated to do this right here. God knew what he wants to. One fellow said, I don't understand how God can love such a fellow as me. I said, just because he wanted to. God is love. How could God say a fellow like me? Because he wanted to. He providentially got to the right place, the right time, hear the right message. I heard the bad news before I heard the good news. The bad news is, hey, you're a sinner, the wages of sin is death. Hell's a real place, you know. And you're lost without God. When they got me real lost, I started wanting to get real saved. Out to end, it didn't bother me. I wasn't interested much in any church, any preaching, or any God, or what God thought about me. I did not go to church to get saved. I went because the folks asked me to go. I hadn't been in several years. Here's the preaching the law. Here's the preaching hellfire and brimstone, eternal condemnation. And the Spirit of God brought to my heart and stirred up a fear in me. And I was brought to fear God. And when I got the fear in God, I got disturbed. And I really got under old time Sinai conviction. Yes, I heard the bad news. Looked like I might go to hell any time. And I deserved, when I got to understand I deserved to go. If God sent me to hell, he'd do the right thing because I was a terrible sinner. I defended his character and his law. I stood on his broken commandments. There's none good, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That's just what it said in Romans chapter 3. You're told to seek God, but you'll never do it by nature. There's none good. There's nothing good. When you read about the natural man in this Bible, his mind is blinded. His ears are dull of hearing. Listen, the poison of asp is under his lips. Yes, with his tongue uses deceit. His throat's an open sepulcher. His feet run steps to mischief. His hands shed innocent blood. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He's totally dead spiritually. God must intervene in the trials of his life. That's why God chose us to preach the Word of God. Preach the Word. We're to preach the Gospel. The Gospel's in the Word, but all the Word's not the Gospel. The Word tells us what's the matter with us. We got to know what's wrong with us. We're dead toward God by nature. Sinners by nature, sinners by choice, sinners by practice, sinners in our purpose. God must cross our will. God must deal with us. Have you ever been dealt with by God? When a fellow gets really his spirit broken by the Spirit of God, it won't take him long to get saved. It won't take him long to get saved. Did you hear about that fellow? This fellow was in total rags. This old ragged boy. And they brought him into court. And the judge on the bench, and they read the charges off. And the judge said, "How do you plead?" He said, "I plead guilty, Your Honor." And the judge said, "That's $100 fine. He said, "I don't have any money. I don't have a penny of money. I have nothing to pay with." He said, "That'll be 30 days in jail then." And so he told the bailiff to take him away. And so he started out. The judge got up from his seat. And he laid aside his robe. And he walked around in the front of the desk. And took out his wallet, and he said, "I'll pay." He said, "Bailiff, bring him back. I'll pay the fine for him." Yes. Did you know what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That man come back, and he said, "I don't understand, Judge. I don't understand why you do that." He said, "You just found me guilty." He said, "According to the law, I had to find you guilty. You broke the law. Amen. And the law can't let you off. And I tell you what I can do. I can leave my bench and come down here and I can pay off your fine for it." You know what God did? He found us guilty by his law. Jesus Christ laid aside his robe over young heaven as judge and come down here as our Savior. Amen. And come down here and offered himself to the great supreme judge without any sin, praise God, and paid off what we owed. Hallelujah. And now when we're brought before the bar of justice, God can totally forgive us because our debt's been totally paid. That's what you call salvation by grace through faith. And that's not of yourselves. You have nothing. All you can do is plead guilty. That's right. You know why a lot of folks can't get saved? They won't plead guilty. Yeah. They won't plead guilty. Yeah. They want to do a little bit about it. Yeah. Hey, everybody listen. Praying goes with salvation. Faith goes with it. But your praying and your faith don't save you. You're saved by God's grace. Right. The faith that you've got, saving faith, it's a gift to you, so it's a grace. When it's all said and done, have to say he's the author and finisher of our faith. Salvation is a gift of God. Hallelujah. And it's an eternal gift of God. A gift has to be bought. A gift has to be paid for. A gift has to be given. But a gift has to be received. Have you ever come to knowledge of the truth of the real message of salvation by grace? The gospel is not an offer. It's a proclamation. Not what God's trying to do, what God has done. It's all accomplished. The reconciling work has been totally complete. You give me just a minute or two? The way God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. You know what God done for you ever got here? 2,000 years ago, God took the whole Adamic race, all of their sins, and imputed them to Christ. Charged him to Christ. And Christ went up on the cross and offered himself without spot to God, to the eternal spirit. God reconciled the world unto himself. That don't mean everybody's saved, but that means the reconciling work's been finished. God told us that no more animal's blood, no more lamb being offered. Old Testament sacrifice is finished. That's why the veil's rent and torn from top to bottom. God was never satisfied with animal sacrifices. Oh no, there's just a picture of him that was to come. God put their sins under the blood right on them, postponed them right on them. Christ appeared once in the world to put away sin. Someone said, where are my sins? They're behind God's back. And God don't never turn around. They're in the depths of the sea. They'll never be remembered against me anymore. Somebody said, well, can God remember them sins? I said, I don't know, but he said he wouldn't remember them against me. That's good enough for me. Is that good enough for you? Wouldn't remember against me. Otherwise, you're going to break it back up. Just like when that fellow's fine was paid, they're not going out there to arrest him next week and bring him back in because he's done been tried and the judge fixed it all up, paid off the fine. You can't try a man again. Amen. This fine's been paid, ain't that right? When the judge dismisses the charge, that's it. A lot of people never come to know the truth about the Messiah. He was the Messiah of Israel. He came as his own. His earthly ministry was basically to the nation of Israel. When he dealt with a Syrophoenician woman, it was a Gentile in Matthew 15, she had to come under the Jewish table. Because Christ told her, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That is the covenant children. All Israelites are covenant children. He says, it's not meet to take the covenant children's dogs, a bread and cast it to Gentile dogs. For I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was true at that time. At that time. He was only sent to the lost sheep. We were never lost sheep. We was aliens and foreigners and strangers. Ephesians 2:12. So the Israelites, that is the seed of earth, the seed of Abraham, they was the ones lost sheep. And some of them wasn't lost. Now, I don't understand that. You could explain it to me. Some of them in that covenant relationship with children of the devil. Jesus said, you're from beneath. In other words, you got birth from beneath. I'm from above. Did you know there's people in this world been born from beneath? They're not saved now, and they're not going to be saved next week, and they're not ever going to be saved. Their conscience is dead. The conscience wouldn't save you, but if you ever die, you can't get saved. It's the ability to know good and evil. See, that's reason you got a lot of people today, thanks they're saved, they don't know the difference in good and evil. They can't even come to truth on the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen. He was sinless. Could not sin, did not sin, you know sin, just suffered with the unjust, and yet went to the cross and God made him to be sin for us. Made his soul an offering for sin. He was made upon the cross what we are. God charged our sin to him. And he offered himself first for the sovereign, second for the sinner. Died first for God. God never would save a sinner. At the expense of his character, we only have mercy extended to us sinners because divine justice has been satisfied.
Yeah.
You can say that right there. Christ paid on the cross and he totally satisfied the justice demands of the law.
Yeah.
Now God can freely forgive us because the law has been satisfied.
Right.
We're not under the law, we've been lifted above the law, Romans 8.
Yeah.
And the law is fulfilled in us, not by us, but in us. Christ has given the law for us to everyone that believe it. The law is good, but it's not made for a righteous man. Who is a righteous man? Since there is none righteous, by nature, the only righteous people are those that attend Christ, and we have Christ righteous, and he's the blood that will finish the law. Nod your head right there. Some never come to knowledge of the truth about the misery of hell. You know, hell is a miserable place. And it was well covered. It's a place of fire, brimstone, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, no water, no preachers, no babies, no love, no light. I don't understand all about that. It's fire and brimstone, yet it's out of darkness. Place of darkness. Of course, the sinner's in darkness anyway. Spiritually, he couldn't see God. You know, he can't. He's in darkness. He don't understand the light. If he ever comes to the light, in John 5 and verse 40, Christ said to some of them there, you won't come to the light. You won't come to me. You shall not have light. In other words, they're in darkness. They love darkness rather than light. Hell's a miserable place. I hope you don't go there. You say, how would it help me to get saved? Old enough to know you need to get saved. I don't know how old that'd be. One time I was over here in eastern Kentucky, and a fellow come to Morris Banks. I didn't know him. Never had seen him before. His cousin come over to the other place and got me to go over there and preach. And he's 45 years old and went through the Second War. Just died a while back. Had his funeral this last part of last year. And he came forward and got saved. And I went down to his house a day or two later. He said, Brother Mitchell, that's the first time in my life I ever knew you need to get saved. 45 years old. I can't explain that. That's just what he said. He's a real good moral man. Never done anything out of the way. Just good moral. Them's the hardest kind, realize they're terrible sinners. You know, they think, one fellow said, well, he's a good fella. Just needs to get saved. He'll need to get saved if he's good. He got to see he's a terrible sinner. He's as bad a sinner in his being as the fellow that's a drunkard out there living on Skid Row.
Yeah.
All is sin that comes short of the glory of God. He can be a good moral man. We commend him for that. And all that stuff, but that's not salvation. Christ came to save sinners, not good people. He didn't come to try to save sinners. He came to save sinners. And some people never come to knowledge of the truth. They're missing out on God's best. And of course, they're saved, but they're missing out on, some folks are, missing out on God's best. They say, well, I'm just, you know, they think that Christ just come to save us from hell. Did you know there's not a passage of Scripture that said he come just save us from hell? He comes to save us from sin. By saving us from sin, he saves us from wrath. By saving us from wrath, he saves us from hell. By saving us from hell, he saves us to heaven. But see, you can't just get you a passport to heaven in order to miss hell. Now, I have to dwell there a lot because you'd be surprised if people think they're really interested in getting to go to heaven. That's all they're interested in. And nowadays, we have a whole generation that think they're going to heaven, walking toward hell. Because they've made a trip down front, you know, and the preacher said, don't let the devil make you doubt it now. Don't let the devil make you doubt it, because now you've got saved. See, you've got to tell them they got saved. Instead of letting them tell him, he tells them. You know, since they've said a certain prayer, they think they're saved. You're not saved anything you can pray or say. You're saved by grace through faith. And the Spirit of God bears witness to your spirit that you are the children of God. And when God saves you, you'll be the first one to know it. Don't you believe that? Now, you might not know any technicalities. You might not know what to say. I didn't know what to say when I got saved. You might not know any part of the doctrines or anything like that. But the Spirit of God will witness in your heart that you've been changed. You've been made a new creature. And you don't love the things you used to love. You've been saved from the love of sin, the practice of sin. You've been saved from a sinful lifestyle. You don't like sin. If you like sin, you're still a sinner. That's just the way it is, ain't it? You can't live in sin and enjoy sin and be saved, have the Holy Ghost inside of you. That'd be foreign to the Scriptures. Amen. That is true. You've been saved from sin, the bondage of sin, the practice of sin, the pleasure of sin. If you don't get saved from the love of sin, you ain't going to try to get out of sin. You got to have a love for righteousness. You can't preach people out of the world. You can't preach people into loving Jesus. They have to be born of love. Then when they're born of love, they love him because he first loved them. Now, you can preach to them, they can take truth to them, they can mature, they'll move up and get God's best. Don't you think so? Get God's best. You know that that tribe of Gad, they didn't want to go over into Canaan. They'd go over and work a while, you know, and say, let us stay on this side because we got a lot of cows, sheep and stuff over here, just better grazing. Land. And that's the very same fella, you know, their sheep turned into pigs. You know, it's kind of funny, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus come in over there to the country of the Gadarenes.
Yeah.
Gadarenes. They start dealing hogs, which Jews wasn't allowed to deal in.
Amen.
that whole herd of hogs there. And then when the devils got cast out of Jesus, the devils talked to the Lord, said, suffer us not to go into the deep, wherever that is. Deep, wherever that is. Somebody sound like somebody's in the deep. Said, suffer us to go into the herd of swine. He gave them leave, and they went into the herd of swine, running the swine crazy. And the swine run down the river and was choked, drowned. Our Tennessee lady got drowned. That's why people, when they start acting like hogs, they want to go down where the water's at. That's why everybody wants to go to the beach and lay out. Oh, yeah. They go to the beach. That's the reason they take four-fifths of their clothes off. That old fellow called the devil, he is naked. People's got four-fifths of their clothes off, they're four-fifths full of the devil. Don't you think so? I mean, what would cause me or you want to get out in public? And I'm not just talking to women. Nothing to be more vulgar looking than an old pussy-gutted man with a pair of shorts on leading a dog around. That's just bad as a woman going naked. Ain't that right? Amen. Nowadays, they think that's nice. I've seen preachers out with tank tops and shorts on. Pastoring churches. Leave taking their dog for a walk. That's not as vulgar looking as you'd ever see. Don't look at me like that. That is right. And most of them's got very gross veins. Yeah, big old blue knots on their leg, and they want to get out and walk around in public. Some of them's old as I am. I say they're full of the devil. What do you think? I think so. You ought to come to the knowledge of the truth. Get in on God's best. Get in one of them old churches where they don't care to preach this text. You know, we don't preach on sin all the time, just most of the time. We have to preach on sin because there's so much of it. There's just one devil, but there's so much more now to fool with us. And everybody now has come along. Well, it's not too bad. That preacher's just a radical. He's just a radical. So, you know, it's not all that bad. Everybody's doing it. You'd be surprised people that just preach. Well, about everybody does that. I see about everybody going to hell, too. Did you ever read this Bible? Did you know the majority was always wrong? The majority done it in Noah's day, and the majority went down in the flood. Majority in Lot's day, about all of them said sodomy is okay, and they went up in the fire and flames too. Suffer the vengeance of eternal fire, and it's the same way today. If you don't get out of this world system, out of this sin, you'll go to hell in it. That is right. I got some good news. There's a Savior that can get you out of it. Save you from it. Now, when you get down to business with God, you get on sanctified ground. There ain't nothing you can do to impress God. You can't impress God. You know, and everybody ought to pray. Saints and sinners ought to pray. All men ought to pray. Always pray, not to faint. And us old ones remember, we can remember when fellas didn't even go to church and they'd offer thanks over their food. They wouldn't even think about not praying, them sinners. Their praying didn't save them, but it showed a reverence for God. You know what I mean? Nowadays, this bunch of no-good perverts, they don't want you praying in any kind of public gathering. Ain't that right? I liked what that little boy said, and I'm done. They said, now, you can pray, but you can't pray in Jesus' name. Did y'all read that out there somewhere? Yeah, I thought that was real good. Said he's ending his prayer. He said, now, they said we couldn't pray in Jesus' name, Lord. And you know, so he done it anyway. He worked it in. I forget exactly how he done it. But, you know, we know it's right to pray in Jesus' name, but they said we couldn't do it here. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get God out of everything in this country. And they're doing a pretty good job of it, too. Don't you think they are? Doing a pretty good job of it. Yeah. I never forget hearing an old preacher, and he's been dead since 1971. And he talked about the principle that goes along with the Lord today. And when they start playing golf on Sunday, they start going to their boats to the rivers and lakes on Sunday, they start making big ball games and everything on Sunday, it won't be long till they'll lead God out the ocean and say, you get out, we don't want nothing to do with you. And we've lived to see it. We begin to see it. Sunday's a big day of revelry now, almost everywhere. May God help us. Every morning, everybody become the knowledge of the truth. May God bless you.